Welcome to You Can Turn This Around, the podcast. I'm your host, Lazara Canton. I am here to explore with you the connection between personal development and spiritual growth, the joining point where the human experience of growth meets soul evolution. Pushing ourselves to become the best version of us, coming into our true essence and power. Hello, welcome to this episode of the podcast, You Can Turn This Around. I am so grateful that you're here. And for today's podcast, I want to do something very different again. Every episode feels very different for me. And I want to delve a little bit deeper into the concepts of forgiveness, letting go, shame, fear, and grief. You know, all those non-sexy concepts that, and feelings and experiences, all these things in our life that we avoid, that we don't want to look at, that aren't normally discussed in broad daylight, and yet are very powerful. They hold a lot of keys to our being able to turn our lives around. There's a lot of magic here that when you reflect and review your life can really make a difference. And so I want to introduce you to a concept, a process, and a reading from a book called Descansos. And the funny story is that my book, You Can Turn This Around, was almost called Descansos. That's what I wanted to name it. And yet the people that I was working with who were helping me to publish it at the self-publishing school, they were very against it, of course, because every time I had to explain to someone why, explain the title of the book, I had to explain why. And apparently that doesn't sell. And so I really loved it because it fits the concept of my book perfectly. It fits the background of letting go, forgiveness, reviewing your life, seeing what needs to be seen, seeing what needs to be felt. And yeah, I didn't call it that. And then the book that it comes from, the concept of Descansos, the process, is from a book from Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And the book is entitled Women Who Run With the Wolves. It's about contacting the power of the wild woman. And it's a remarkable book. In fact, it's so remarkable that Maya Angelou has said about the book, everyone who can read, should read this book. I mean, what better accolade, what better feedback to get on your publication? And so it's got really powerful stories, excerpts, and processes. And the one that I really, really felt at the bottom of my heart and that I'm about to read out to you is really about letting go and reviewing our lives. And so I want to introduce this concept to you. I'll read it out to you now and let you really feel and listen to the words of what I'm going to read out. And then I'll share with you how I've used this within my life to be able to turn my life around. Because there's really powerful ways of letting go and forgiving ourselves and grieving. And I don't always mean when I say grieving in terms of the loss of someone. Someone's died, someone's passed on. That, of course, is a very deep and powerful and painful process of grieving. What I also refer to when I say grieving is how often do we grieve those dreams that we'd hoped for ourselves but didn't come true? How often do we grieve the person that we wanted to be but didn't become? How often do we grieve relationships, careers, as I said, dreams, all of these things that happen within our lives or don't happen within our lives that often just push back pushed back to the subconscious mind, pushed under the carpet, where they can fester, where they can take your personal power away from you. And so the process of Descansos is one that can set you free from this. And the meaning of the word will all become clear when I read this out. So I'm going to read a section from the book. And this is a Descansos section. Just enjoy, sit back and think about what the absolutely wonderful Clarissa Pinkola Estes is telling us. There is a time in our lives, usually midlife, when a woman has to make a decision. Possibly the most important psychic decision of her future life. And that is whether to be bitter or not. Women often come to this in their late 30s or early 40s. They are at the point when they are full up to their ears with everything and they've had it. And the last straw has broken the camel's back. And they're pissed off and pooped out. Some of you may resonate already. Their dreams of their 20s may be lying in a crumple. There may be broken hearts, broken marriages, and broken promises. A body who has lived a long time accumulates debris. It cannot be avoided. But if a woman will return to the instinctual nature instead of sinking into bitterness, she will be revivified. Revivified and reborn. Haven't come across that word. Wolf pups are born each year. Usually there are these little mewlings, sleepy-eyed, dark-furred creatures covered in dirt and straw. But they immediately awake playfully, lovingly, and wanting to be close and comforted. They want to play, they want to grow. The women who return to the instinctual and creative nature will come back to life. She will want to play. She will want to grow, both wide and deep. But first, there has to be some cleansing. I would like to introduce you to the concept of Descansos, as I've developed in my work. If you ever travelled in Old Mexico, New Mexico, Southern Colorado, Arizona, or parts of the South, you've seen little white crosses by the roadway. These are descansos, they're resting places. You'll also find them on the edges of cliffs along particular scenic but dangerous roads in Greece, Italy, and other Mediterranean countries. Sometimes crosses are clustered in two or threes or fives. People's names are inscribed upon them. Jesus Mendes, Arturo Buenafuentes. Sometimes the names are spelled out in nails. Sometimes they are painted on the wood or carved into it. Descansos are symbols that mark a death. Right there, right on that spot, someone's journey in life halted unexpectedly. There has been a car accident, or someone was walking along the road and died of heat exhaustion, or a fight took place. Something happened that altered that person's life and the lives of others forever. Women have died 1,000 deaths before they are even 20 years old. They've gone in this direction or that and have been cut off. They have hopes and dreams that have been cut off also. Anyone who says otherwise is still asleep. All that is grist for the mill of Descansos. While all of these things deepen individuation, differentiation, growing up and growing out, blossoming, becoming awake and aware and conscious, they are also profound tragedies and have to be grieved as such. To make Descansos means taking a look at your life and marking where the small deaths, las muertes chiquitas, and the big deaths, Las Muertes Grandotas have taken place. I like to make a timeline of a woman's life on a big long sheet of white butcher's paper and to mark with a cross the place along the graph, starting with her infancy all the way to the present, where parts and pieces of herself and her life have died. We mark where the roads were not taken, paths that were cut off, ambushes, betrayals, deaths. I put a little cross along the timeline at the place that should have been mourned or still need to be mourned. And then I write in the background, forgotten, for those things that the woman senses but which has not yet surfaced. I also write forgiven over those things the woman has, for the most part, released. I encourage you to make descansos, to sit down with a timeline of your life and say, where are the crosses? Where are the places that must be remembered, that must be blessed? In all are meanings that you've brought forward into your life today. They must be remembered, but they must be forgotten at the same time. It takes time and it takes patience. Be gentle with yourself and make the descansos. Descansos is a conscious practice that takes pity on and gives honour to the orphan dead of your psyche, laying them to rest at last. Descansos march the death sites, the dark times, but they are also love notes to your suffering. How beautiful is that? They are love notes to your suffering. It's almost like you're witnessing your own pain, you're seeing what needs to be seen, and it is so freeing. So they are transformative, and there's a lot of things to be said for pinning things to the earth so they don't follow us around. There is a lot to be said for laying them to rest. And there you go. This is about you looking back on your timeline, looking at what needs to be released, what needs to be let go. Otherwise, they just follow you around. And not only do they follow you around, they can act as a brake to the powerful accelerator of your life. They can be holding you back. I wanted to just share my own process with this. As I sat down to write my book, as I had done my own descansos in a, what was it? 13 chapters, 100 and how many thousand words? I can't remember now. 180 pages. I laid out my own timeline of life. I was able to go through and review every single big thing that had happened to me and make a conscious decision of whether I had to forgive, I had to release. I also asked myself the question in order to be able to share it with the reader. What did I learn from this? What have I gotten from this part of my life? Sometimes what came to me in those moments was so profound. I learned more about my life and myself going through my memoir, writing my memoir, than I did at any other time. And so I'm not suggesting that you sit down and write your life story, although I know some of you are very keen to do so. What I would say is just exactly as the author suggests in that excerpt, I want you to just look at your life and mark the places where things changed for you. Some of it might have been within your control. A lot of it probably has been without of your control. Did you grieve the thing that you lost? Were you able to let go of yourself in that image, in that wish, in that dream? It's such a powerful process. I remember when I started to work with Natalie, who was featured in episode 2 here last year, one of the things that I came up with while in hypnosis, while she was talking to my subconscious mind, or was it conversational hypnosis? I can't remember, but the conversation went such that I got a sense as we delved deeper into my psyche that I felt like I was always running. in my life, always running for something, something in the future. I had to keep running. I had to keep moving faster, quicker, better. And so when I was asked by Natalie, and she's so powerful with the way that she approaches this, she had asked me, like, first of all, what is it that you're running from? And of course, it was pain. I was running from the pain of my past. Despite having gone through my book, there was still a lot in my psyche as I reached middle age, there was still a lot in my psyche that I hadn't forgiven of myself, I hadn't let go. And I felt like I was running. And so she asked me, what are you running from? Pain, shame of the past. And for those who are familiar with my story, a lot of the shame that I've carried for a long time was really deep and really heavy and had been released. I had thought for a long time in my life that I was responsible for the deaths of my father and my sister when I was younger. My younger self had woven together this really strange concept of why it was my fault on both occasions that they had died. And I carried that about for so long, and it was so visceral and it was so painful, like the impact that it must have had on my teenage years and my psyche for a long, long time. And yet, later on, when I started to study therapy myself, I found out that this is very common for young kids. If something really bad happens to us, regardless of what it was, it could be a divorce, it could be a death, lots of these things, we are able to, as a defense mechanism, we think, well, something must be up with me, then I have to change because I'm a bad person. That's why these things are happening to me. And so when Natalie had asked me, what are you running from? And I said, the pain of the past. She asked me this very deep and profound question, but very simple in its nature as well. She said, okay, what will happen if you stop running? What does this pain want to do? And I just started to sob, started to cry really deeply. Like, you know those really, really deep sobs when something energetically has snapped? There's been like a rupture in your heart. It is so painful. I just sobbed. I could barely speak. Eventually, I regained my composure, as I do in these sessions. And the answer that had come to me that made me sob so much was what my heart wanted to say and what my soul wanted to say. So if that pain catches up with you and all the things that you're running from catch up with you and you stop, what does it want to do? It wanted to hold me and comfort me. And at the time when I heard the voice of saying it wants to hold you, it wants to comfort you, that's when the sobbing started, because I could feel the feeling of being held. I could feel the feeling of the power within me holding me, my strength, my courage. And that's why I think these processes are so powerful in turning our lives around. Oftentimes, our deepest shame, the biggest things that we're running from, are the things that are really going to set us free. When we're able to be held in a place where we can really look at what's going on in our psyche, when we can look at our subconscious programming and see where those deep hurts lie, when we stop running from them and they're able to hold us, you can unlock the most powerful version of you. You start to be really held within yourself. Nothing outside of you is as important as how you feel within. And when you're able to hold yourself, you begin to realize that actually you are your own home. You are your power. Everything that you want is within you. And the more that we can hold that, the more free we become, the more powerful we become. And so I want to dedicate this episode to the absolutely amazing Jess Fenton, who I've been reading and listening to recently. I say reading because I've joined one of her courses, and I am working with her to get her support on my journey. And it was actually Jess who finally pushed me over the edge. I want to say pushed me over the edge, but gave me the final nudge to get this podcast up and running. And last week, she'd done an episode where she read out an excerpt from this very same book, Women Who Run With the Wolves. And I thought, I've got that book in my drawer. I haven't read it for a long time. And in fact, I was going to call my own book after a process within it. So I've started to look at it again. I've started to read it again. Such a powerful book, such a powerful process. I would love to see and feel and hear how you experience this episode. And I'm really keen to start to experiment with different creative ways of bringing my journey with you, my journey to you, and have you come on this journey with me, and also share some inspiring pieces of work. So I will mix up episodes like this with my own writing and with future guests as well. I've actually got a few guests already lined up and ready to record for future episodes. And so for the end of this episode, what I'd love you to do is start to build your own timeline of your life. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with your beating heart and let it lead you. Let your heart and your psyche show you your own descansos. Let it show you where you have to be led, what you have to see, what you have to feel. I promise you from the bottom of my own heart that on the other side of that fear, on the other side of that shame, lies the greatest, most powerful, most free version of you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. It means the world to me. If you want to find out more, visit lazaracanton.com or visit me on social media at lazaracanton. Thank you.